passion for the planet, sound publishing,
the environment, health, alternative solutions.
I'm Chantal Cook. What happens to the brain when a person has a religious experience? Is there really a God spot within our heads? Mario Beauregard is an associate researcher at the University of Montreal, and he's been looking for the answer to this very question.
Contrary to a belief in science for the last 30 years, there's no single God spot in the brain for these sorts of experience. So the temporal lobe is activated, but many other brain regions are activated. So in other words, these experiences are subserved by a complex network involving many different brain regions that are normally associated with self-consciousness, positive emotion, and also what we call body schema. It's the spatial representation of the body within space.
And do we know why these changes happen during this kind of experience?
No, not really. No, we don't. But these changes are what we call correlate. These experiences are subjectively marked by strong alteration of the sense of self, for instance. So we see very dramatic changes in the brain region associated with self-consciousness, for instance, the prefrontal cortex, as we call it. So if there are changes in terms of the perception of the body within space, then you would expect changes in the brain region underlying this function, which is called the parietal cortex. And indeed, that's exactly what we observe. So, and also there's a very important emotional component involved. So it makes sense to see changes in the brain in regions associated with these emotions.
And what is the influence of these changes then? Does that give us a heightened religious experience?
Well, there's an impact of the spiritual practice on the brain. So, for instance, these nuns, overall, we estimated that these 15 nuns had spent something like 210,000 hours in prayer and contemplation. Now we know, based on research about meditation with Buddhist monks, for instance, that the more you practice meditation or prayer or contemplation, the more you will induce structural change in the brain and functional change in the brain also. So in these nuns, what we observe is the result of all this practice and this phenomenon of what we call neuroplasticity.
And does that mean, therefore, that for us kind of non-nuns and non-Buddhist monks, that actually doing just a little bit of meditation could actually be of a great improvement for us or a great help to us?
Absolutely, because the recent studies show this exactly, that even if you practice for only a few months, you can still observe minor changes in the brain. So imagine if you practice for years.
And does it matter how much you practice? I mean, if you just were to do 10 minutes a day or can do 10 minutes a week?
Yes, so it's a matter of how much you practice. So the changes in the brain will be proportional to the amount of time spent doing meditation or prayer.
And do we know much about what happens once you stop practicing? Do you still maintain that level, or in fact, does it just disappear?
So far, there are no studies that have addressed this question specifically.
And in terms of your research, what other things do you think need to be looked at next? What kind of questions has this research raised for you?
Well, the most important question is to determine whether what we measure during these states are simply correlates, to which degree these changes induce the spiritual states or experiences, or do these spiritual states more reflect a sort of communication with a transpersonal or spiritual domain? And in order to respond to this question, it's interesting to address the so-called near-death experience. Because in near-death experience, especially when it is associated with cardiac arrest, the brain will shut down about 10 to 15 seconds after the cardiac arrest. So when the brain is not functioning, the central dogma of neuroscience is that there's no consciousness possible, no perception, no emotion. Yet there are anecdotal cases where these functions are reported. So this seemed to be a very good avenue for future research about these issues.
That's Mario Beauregard, associate researcher at the University of Montreal. And there are lots more interviews available on demand at passionfortheplanet.com.
This is a Passion for the Planet Sound publication. For more information about Passion for the Planet Sound publishing, visit passionfortheplanet.com.